like to, I don't know if I want to say begin because I'm going to be in different places, but we'll eventually get to the latter part of Genesis chapter 11 to the beginning of Genesis chapter 12. Really, what I have on my mind this morning, and it could be that the Lord impresses me to preach on the subject of this man's life for a while. We'll see how the Lord leads. But it's a man that's talked about a whole lot in Scripture. It's a man named Abraham. Abraham is mentioned some 237 times in the Old Testament. He's mentioned some 74 times in the New Testament. And if you look at the red letters of the Lord Jesus Christ himself speaking audibly in the gospel accounts, the Lord Jesus mentions him 20 times. So he's definitely a figure that's been emphasized to us in Scripture. And in some ways, he's kind of a picture of us. You know, the Lord Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 3, he would tell some folks, he'd say, think not to say unto yourselves, we have Abraham, our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. The Jews thought that they had a whole lot of blessings because Abraham was their father. But we see some sweet teaching in the New Testament that he was not only the father of the Jew, but in a sense, he's also our father. You know, the first time that Abraham's mentioned in the New Testament is in the very first verse of the New Testament. The New Testament begins in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1 by saying, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham literally means, the name Abraham literally means high father or exalted father. We look in the New Testament, we'll see some of the great blessings that are identified with Abraham. And we get clear teachings on exactly the real source of these blessings. You look in Romans chapter 4, you'll see a lot of that chapter is talking about Abraham and God's dealing with Abraham. And I want to go to verse 16, which says, therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace. Now remember, grace literally means the unmerited, undeserved love and favor of God. None of us deserve God's love. None of us deserve God's favor. We're guilty, bankrupt sinners. But yet the Lord blesses us anyway. That's grace. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham. Listen, who is the father of us all. Now the Jews in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ would have said, oh, Abraham's not the father of you Gentiles. He's the father of the Jews physically, and of the Jews only, and of those of the physical lineage of Abraham. They would have recalled at the thought that somehow Abraham was a father of the Gentiles. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul would pen these words to the church in Rome, which was made of Jews and Gentiles. It was a mixed congregation. There were some Jews in the church at Rome. There were some Gentiles in the church at Rome. And what did the Apostle Paul just say? Under the inspiration of God, remember, Paul was penning these words, but these are the words of God. And it said, which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. That means those blessings that God pronounced on Abraham came not only to the Jew, but also to us as Gentiles. Now, I don't believe we've got a Jew in the bunch, not a physical Jew in the bunch here this morning in the congregation. And that's important to us, that Abraham is the father of us all. Now let's also go to Galatians chapter 3, where this is also emphasized. Galatians chapter 3 and let's begin in verse 6 for a little bit of context. It said, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. He's writing this to a Gentile church. He's saying, for those that are of faith, to those who have been blessed to trust in the Lord the way Abraham did, he said to them, the same, knowing ye therefore that they which are faith. And how do people get that faith? We get it because the Lord warns us again and puts us in our heart. No dead alien sinner would ever have faith. But that's put in us in regeneration. We're blessed to get that ninefold fruit of the Spirit, which would also be written in Galatians, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Faith. One of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. You show me a man, woman, boy, or girl that has faith, I'll show you a man, woman, boy, or girl that has been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. It says, know ye therefore that they which are faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Not just of the Jew, but the Lord is giving this sweet gospel good news to a church of the Gentile. He said, ye also are of faith. Ye also are blessed with your father Abraham. You are the children of Abraham. So that's what I say, that Abraham is in a sense kind of a picture of us, because we've been blessed to be children of Abraham as well. Now the real verse, and I don't know why I just flipped away from Galatians 3, the most important verse I need to read, I just flipped away from it. Galatians chapter 3, this really shows how the promises of God that the Lord gave to Abraham have come to us. I say as Gentiles, but if we were a Jew, it's still the way it's come to us. Galatians chapter 3, let's begin in verse 13. Where did all these blessings come from? Because some were of the physical lineage of Abraham? No. Because some did some kind of good works? like Abraham may have done?
No.
How do the blessings that God promised to Abraham get to us? How are we children of Abraham? He tells us Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Who's our redeemer? Abraham? No. Who's our redeemer? Ourselves and something we've done? No. Christ is our redeemer. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile. How? Through Jesus Christ. That's how we get the blessings through Abraham, is through Jesus Christ. And he goes on to explain that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, plural. If somehow we were to get the blessings of Abraham and the blessings that God promised to Abraham through a physical lineage of Abraham, meaning that in that case, we would have had salvation by race. That's what many of the Jews thought, that their salvation was because they were of the same race as Abraham. They were his physical descendants. And this shows how precise God is in his word. Because he's going to hang this great doctrinal point. Are we saved by being physically kin to Abraham? Are we saved by Jesus Christ? That's a pretty important difference, isn't it? He's going to hang this whole doctrinal and theological argument on, is that word singular or is it plural? That shows you how much God respects his book, how much God's preserved his book. Does that say seed singular or does it say seeds plural? Makes a difference. He said that Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one. One seed. Who is that seed? He tells us, and of thy seed, which is Christ. So all the blessings that God promised unto Abraham, all the blessings that were being anticipated that would come, came through the one singular seed, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our Redeemer, the singular seed that came through the lineage of Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is an extremely important doctrinal point that the Apostle Paul would make here in Galatians. So we see that we are children. I hope I've established that scripturally. We are the children of Abraham. And all the blessings that we have, the reason we're children of Abraham is because we're embraced in that seed, the Lord Jesus. We were chosen in that seed, the Lord Jesus, before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in Christ. And because of that, we have these great blessings that God promised to Abraham and to his seed, the Lord Jesus. So in a way, Abraham's a picture of us. We're children of Abraham. You know what it said about Abraham three different times in Scripture? If you find another one, let me know. But I know at least three times in Scripture, Abraham is said to be the friend of God. That the Bible says something one time, it's important. But if it says it two times, you really know the Lord's emphasizing. And if it says it three or more times, you can really know the Lord is really, really emphasizing this truth. Let's look in James chapter 2, verse 23, which is the New Testament verse that gives us this precious truth. James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed. That word imputed means counted or reckoned unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. God would say, Abraham is my friend. What a blessing. Tremendous blessing that is. Let's look in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 7. Second Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 7. The context of this is enemies are coming against the nation of Judah. A man named Jehoshaphat, a godly king, is giving the people the words of the Lord. And I'll just pick up in verse 5 for a little bit of context. Jehoshaphat's trying to reassure the people. The people are afraid. The enemies of Judah are coming against them. They're gathering together, and the children of Israel could have easily have been afraid. And Jehoshaphat seeking to encourage them. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kings of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand them? Now, I'm going to tell you, he's encouraging the people by the power of God. See, it's easy for the children of Judah to look out at the world, at their enemies, and say, whoa, they look pretty strong. Whoa, I'm pretty afraid. Whoa, they're coming after us. And Jehoshaphat reminds them, quit looking at your enemies and look at the God you serve. Let's look at him. You know, that helps me when I'm afraid of something. There's a whole lot in this world that scared me. Y'all know I enjoy the Andy Griffith Show. There was one scene where a guy's coming to see Andy. Barney's convinced the guy that Andy locked up and had to shoot him in the leg in a robbery is coming to kill Andy. Barney's convinced of that. And he's talked to Andy enough about it. Andy's a little fearful himself. He doesn't know. The guy said, I'm coming into town. I've got some business to take care of with you. And Andy doesn't know why the guy's coming. And there's a scene there where Andy's waiting on the guy to show up. He's just got the call, and the guy's coming. And he doesn't know why he's coming, but he's a little fearful. This guy may be coming to do me harm. And he gets his gun off the top of the shelf and loads it. And he says, no, I don't need to do that. He puts it back. He sent Opie to the next door neighbors with Aunt B and said, you know, why don't y'all go over there for a little while? There's a scene where Opie comes up to his daddy and says, Daddy, are you afraid of the trouble that's coming? Then he said, what makes you think there's trouble coming? He's not wanting to make Opie afraid. He said, you're sending me away. And he said, Daddy, is this the first time you've ever been afraid? Daddy said, no, I've been afraid a lot of times. I imagine if we're all honest with ourselves, we would have to say what Andy said. We've been afraid a whole lot of times. And our enemies can make us afraid. The trials and the tribulations of life can make us afraid. One of the best cures for that fear is to quit looking at the enemy. Quit looking around and start looking up. That's one of the reasons in the ark that saved Noah and his family from the flood. The window was at the top, so that Noah and his family wouldn't look out at all the tumult and all the rain and all the storm and all the tumult of the fountains of the deep being broken up and all of that. But they look up to the Lord that was protecting them. Here Jehoshaphat is a godly king. Gets them to look up at the Lord and said, in thy hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? He's saying, Lord, we realize you are stronger than any enemy that might come against us. You're stronger than any fear that we might have. And they dwelt there then, art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever. Said, Lord, we know Abraham is thy friend, and he's thy friend forever. He's never going to quit being Abraham's friend. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that something to rejoice in? That the Lord is Abraham's friend forever. There's one more verse in Isaiah chapter 41. Verse 8, that I know of, that again emphasizes this great truth that God is Abraham's friend. Verse 8 says, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. The Lord's emphasized that. Abraham's my friend. Abraham's my friend. Abraham's my friend forever. He'll never quit being my friend. You know, a friend's a great and a wonderful blessing. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 talks. Gives us a little bit of information about the blessing of a friend. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17 said, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loveth at all time. And a brother is born for adversity. That verse is saying that a true friends love us all the time. When the times are good, when the times are not good. One of the reasons in wedding ceremonies, we'll say, as we give those covenants, we'll say in sickness or in health, in poverty or in wealth, in the bad that may darken your days or the good that may light your way, to be faithful to him or her in all things, as long as you both shall live, be you so promise. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You know, isn't it a blessing when somebody, your good friend, they're also your brother? That's a blessing in the natural realm, in our physical families. I'll tell you, that's a blessing in the church. The best friends I've ever had have also been brothers and sisters. What a blessing that is. Says a brother's born for adversity, meaning when the times are adverse, when the times are tough, when the trials and tribulations have come, that brother will stick by you. You know what it says? You know, whenever we look to anything in the Bible, and we're looking for, well, who's the ultimate example of that, there's only one place to look. And it's always to the Lord Jesus. You know, I'm so thankful for wonderful examples I've been given in my life. Many wonderful examples in this room I've been given. That's a tremendous blessing. And I would to God would help me to be an example. But I'm going to tell you, there's one thing that all of us have in common. We're still sinners. So our example will always fall short. But I'll tell you, there's one. His example will never fall short. That's our Lord. That's our Savior. It's our Master, it's our Redeemer. It'll say this in Proverbs chapter 18, probably on about the next page to where we were. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You know, that's a very practical truth. If we want friends, we need to be friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I'll tell you, that's the Lord Jesus. He's a friend that loveth at all times. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he said at least three times in Scripture, I'm Abraham's friend. I'm Abraham's friend. I'm Abraham's friend forever. Remember, I said that Abraham is in some ways a picture of us. You see, the Lord's not just Abraham's friend, but the Lord's our friend. Same way he's a friend to Abraham, the Lord's a friend to us. And he shows us in many times and in many ways. Let's look at John chapter 15, where this sweet truth is so wonderfully brought forth. John chapter 15 and verse 13, the Lord Jesus would say, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You know that verse that a friend loveth at all times? There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want to tell you, if we've got a friend that's willing to give our life for us, I want to tell you, that's a true, wonderful friend. We sing a song, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. Oh, what peace we offer for him. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything God. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's a friend that's willing to lay down and did lay down his life for us. His seed, the seed of Christ, the seed of Abraham, thy seed, which is Christ. He laid down his life for us. He said, ye are my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you. We may say, boy, the Lord's been a friend to me. I want to be a friend to him. How do we do that? Do what he says. Do what he says. We want to show him he's our friend. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I've called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So we can have that sweet, sweet fruit. I only know when he's the friend of Abraham. He's the friend of Abraham forever. He's our friend. That friendship will never come to an end. He's a friend sticking closer than a brother. His friendship will last a long time. He was willing to lay down his life for us. We were redeemed by his own precious blood. That's the freedom we have. We go back to, I said I would eventually end up toward the end of Genesis chapter 11. We ain't got much time left. And I'll be mindful of the time. But let's go back there. A man that was such a wonderful, great man, a man that is given such emphasis in Scripture, a man that the Lord speaks so much about in his word. It might be easy to think that his mom and daddy just did everything right. You know, sometimes when somebody does something very bad in society, society's quick to blame it all on their upbringing, to blame it on the school system, and blame it on all kinds of things. But I'll tell you, there's some examples in Scripture of children that came up under idolaters and false worshipers of false gods that the Lord blessed do very well. Gideon's one of those. You remember Gideon, who was a farmer, his daddy was a Baal worshiper. You remember the first thing God told Gideon to do was to tear down his daddy's altar to Baal and in its place build an altar unto the Lord. Gideon was a great man of God. I'm going to tell you, it's a tremendous and wonderful blessing. We're raised by God and mom and daddy. I was blessed to be raised in a home where I knew mom and daddy loved me. They taught us to believe this book. They taught us that we should serve and love the Lord, and that's a blessing. And perhaps that's many of y'all's experience. Maybe everybody's experience. But you know, sometimes that's not the case for some folks. But you know, the Lord's able to take somebody that maybe grew up in a home where they didn't love the Lord, didn't worship. Maybe they serve some other God. But the Lord's able to lift them up, bless them, and can make of them a great, great people. Let's look at what it says in Joshua chapter 24 quickly. Let's begin in verse 2. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, listen, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other, little g, gods. Abraham's father served other gods. I'm not sure if he ended his life that way or not, but for a period of time, Abraham's father worshiped other God. Now let's look at what is, I'll really probably just get to one point we try to bring our hearts to. And Terah, this is verse 31 of Genesis 11. And Terah took Abram, his son. He's called Abram. Yeah. He won't be called Abraham for numerous chapters. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, and his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law. By the way, Abraham's wife, Sarai, her name literally means princess. And I had to smile when I read that, because I've always called Sister Annalee my little princess. And she was very little. Sarai's name literally means princess. His sons, Abram's wife, and they went forth with them, heard the Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land I'll show thee. So Abram was told by God, you need to do some getting out and you need to do some going in. Getting out, going in. The land he's telling Abram to go to, he's never seen. I'm going to tell you, this takes great faith on Abraham's part, and he generally usually has the pattern of conduct, not totally, not in every sin of his life, but he generally has the pattern of conduct. He's going to trust God no matter what. So he's going, he's obeying God's command. Because it doesn't say in verse 4, so Abram departed. That means Abram's doing what the Lord said. See, you need to get out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto, you need to go unto a land I'll show you. Now, I'm going to tell you, going unto that land, the Lord's going to show him to the promise. It's a land of Canaan. It's a land the Bible describes as a land that floweth with milk and honey. It's a picture of the church. Now, the Lord's going to give him this land freely. But it's going to be up to Abraham to go in and possess it. And that's, again, a great picture of the church. The Lord's blessed us with the church. And he tells us, you go in and possess it. You enjoy it. And to go into that land, you got to go out of some things. You know, for us to come here this morning, we need to leave some stuff behind. We need to leave the world behind. You know how many gospel services have been messed up for me because I didn't leave stuff behind. That's one of the things we need to pray for when we come to the house of God. Lord, you please help me leave the things of the world behind as I worship them. We got to get out of the land to come into the land. I'm going to tell you, that's one of the things I love about three-day meetings we have amongst the old Baptists. A lot of times meetings on Friday, sometimes they start on Thursday night. Generally, all day Friday, all day Saturday, and then still on Sunday morning. You know, one of the things I love about those meetings and I like about them, gives me more of a chance to get out of the world, to get out of something. Sometimes it takes me a little while to thaw out the house. The world can be so cold. Sometimes it takes me a little while. That's why, that's another reason. It's good to get here for the song service. I don't want to come into the house of God and only sing a part of a song or one song before we get into the preaching service. I want to be here for the whole song service because the Lord's here. It begins to warm my heart in the song service and makes me ready to try to preach or to listen to preach. But I'll tell you, on those three-day meetings, sometimes I come in on Friday or Thursday night. I'm just so full of the things of the world, and so much may have happened to me, maybe on the way to the meeting, or things that have happened at work. And I just feel so cold. But as I go out from the world and go into the kingdom, as I go into the promised land, something happens. And as the meeting goes on, it's like I push further and further into the kingdom. You know, Brother Sammy Odom, it's been a year or so ago, but he preached this year. He said, some people view the kingdom as like you're either in the kingdom or you're out. He made an excellent point. He said, I view it almost like a forest. Sometimes you get into the kingdom and you may be past one tree, but you keep going into the kingdom and you pass another tree and another tree and another tree. I've had that experience. And I'll tell you, at the end of some of those meetings where I've been with the people of God in successive services and heard the prayers after prayer after prayer, sweet brethren that laid their heart out before the Lord. And I've heard one sweet song of Zion after another, after another, after another. And I keep pushing past the trees. I keep getting deeper into the kingdom. And I listen to gospel sermon after gospel sermon is blessed by the Holy Spirit of God. Come on. By the end of the meeting, it's almost like I just feel like I touch the hem of his garment. Why does that happen? Sometimes it takes us a little while to get out of the world and to really embrace and feel the promised land that the Lord's blessed us with. I hope I value it. You know, Abram would travel some 400 miles to get to the land of Canaan. He would go to Samaria. I'll tell you, the promised land that Abraham's going to be blessed to go into, worth every bit of his effort, worth every bit of his labor. What a blessing it is. Pray, see if the Lord wants, desires that we continue to live life this great God, the picture for us. Given to us in this life. God, receive blessings.